Good morning. How many of each of you had a secret place when you were a child or a young adult that you went to and it was yours? It may have been like I did. I made a fort with cloth and towels that I stole from my mother's house, father's house, and gave her trouble about it, but put a stick up in the middle of it and had all my private things there, milk duds and soda pop and all these things that were part of my childhood, the things that rot your teeth and your stuff. Somehow we're here. How many of you all remember a place like that? I think we all had that. And it always felt good because we felt as if we were apart and separate from what was going on in our house, but we also knew that the loving presence of our parents wasn't too far away, so it was pretty secure and pretty fun to go there and to fantasize whatever it may be that we were flying a plane or sailing a submarine or any number of things that we could imagine about ourselves in that secret place. Well, as we grow older, we still have a need for a secret place. We call it meditation. We call it this sacred space inside our minds that we return to for regeneration and renewal. It's also a place where we think our own thoughts, we create, we live. And in that place, sometimes we get ideas, and we call them sometimes divine ideas about ourselves, and we feel recreated in that place. I think all of us long for the innocence of childhood and the days that we did create that sacred, special place, and we try to replicate it as we grow older. Scripture says in the 91st Psalm something about the ultimate secret place. Now, the 91st Psalm was written by either David or Moses. And in the theological circles that I learned and traveled in, I believe for myself that it was written by Moses because of the position in Scripture that the book was. It's very close to Leviticus and in the Old Testament. It seems to me that the most likely person to have written the 91st Psalm would have been Moses. Doesn't matter if it was David or Moses. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm that has been carried in purses and wallets and pocketbooks of people all through the ages because it speaks of a mighty protecting presence and power. The first line of the psalm is, I will dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and under the shadow of the Almighty, I will find refuge. I'm paraphrasing, but I'm sort of making the language a little newer for today. In other words, it is a protecting place, the secret place of the Most High. In that place that we run to in times of trouble, in times of confusion and upset, we may not know that there is a 91st Psalm. We may know it, but we go there instinctively. We need surcease sometimes. We need relief. And if we receive some difficult news in life or some things that are upsetting to us, we say, give me a moment alone. Can I just take it easy outside for a moment? We are instinctively going to a secret place. You see, I think that human attributes mirror divine attributes, even though they're not always called that. We're always seeking towards health, wholeness, and restoration, even if we make choices that don't always support that. Sometimes our choices are less than, but we are always reaching for something that we think and hope will protect us, make us feel good, give us security, and give us a sense of life. In this place that I'm talking about, and what I think the psalmist was talking about, is the refuge to regroup, the refuge to be protected by the presence of the Almighty. This psalmist knew that there was no place that he could go where God was not. In fact, in a later psalm, it says, "Whither can I go to flee from thy presence? If I make my bed in Sheol," which is an older name for hell, "behold, you are there." There was no place that you could escape, or he could escape, rather, God's loving presence, care, and concern. In this place, we can run in times of emergency and feel protected, but I'd like to talk about it this morning as a place to change your thinking about your life in a safe environment, a place where you listen to the divine, where you meditate. It's not particularly a place like the forts and the tents we had as children. It's really a place in our minds, because life always takes place in our minds and the outward things are just props. So wherever you go or wherever someone goes with it, it is still the place that we go and say, "I am here and alone with my God, my protector, my presence, my power, my peace." We may not call it that, but that's what we want to feel. Now, the problem occurs sometimes when we go in there and we begin to meditate, or we begin to say, "I need to step back, I need to think about things, I need a little protection." Sometimes the voices come. And I'm not talking about necessarily audible voices, but the ones that come when we calm down enough and begin to think about what we're thinking about. There are words like, "I'm not good enough," "I'm too old," "I'm too young," "I'm too this," "I'm too that," "I've done this," "I've done that," "I can't because," and "I won't because." All these wonderful negative words keep us in a place that we don't want to be. And we wonder, where do these words come from? Why is it that when we close our eyes sometimes in meditation and we want to be in that protecting presence, that it seems we're just assaulted by everything we feel we haven't done correctly? Every mistake, every embarrassment. Why is that so? My personal feeling is it's the flip side of the ego. It's the shadow side. It's the dark side. You see, because for every counterfeit, there is something real. So when you're feeling these regrets and these recriminations and hearing these voices, it's only because you want to ultimately receive good. And you think the way to do that is by cataloging what we call our challenges, our failures, our times that we wish could have been differently. You see, life is rigged in our favor. I believe, and I believe with all my heart, that in the end, whatever that is, the universe is rigged in our favor. It is, we develop and grow because of where we are. And we're given the place to grow right where we are. We are where, exactly where we need to be for the next step in our life. So it makes sense that instead of letting these recriminations and these negativities and these voices that want to pull us down into a place of less than, it makes sense that we allow them to float through our minds, rather like I've heard it said, leaves on a patio during a breeze. You make notice of them and you see them fly away. Don't invest too much emotion in those thoughts, because they're not true. And the truth is, you are God's perfect child. You may not have expressed in that way. I know I haven't many times, but I always had an insurance policy in the back of my mind that said, truth, with a capital T, is principle, power, poise, plenty, good enough, strong enough, God's with me. That is a wonderful thing to rest on, especially when you have these thoughts assail you. And we live in a culture that seems to enjoy comparison, enjoy the idea of one against another. We tend to divide separate, and then we wonder why we're unhappy. We wonder why our culture and our country cries out for healing. It's because we try to act like we're not part of this wondrous whole. We are gods in the chrysalis. Those aren't my words, those are the words of Christ Jesus. They're also the words of the Buddha. They're words of Yogananda, Dr. Ernest Holmes, Mary Baker Eddy, these great transcendental writers who reminded us of our divinity. Because you see, religion as it was practiced before these folks wrote in the 20th century was a control game. I think you probably remember the idea of indulgences in the church, where you could literally buy people in and out of eternal damnation. It was a place where control was supreme by one group or one person. But as we matured as a people, we began to know that we had inherent power because the scripture said it. We felt it inherently because it's true, but when we looked at the holy writings, we have seen and read, "Have I not said, ye are gods? I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly." Christ Jesus and every good spiritual teacher is always on the side of health. Any good therapist, doctor, counselor is always pointing you towards yourself. Christ Jesus pointed people towards themselves and that secret place that is inside each one of us. Now there is this secret place of the Most High when we feel sad, when we feel lonely, upset, that we failed, that we've let down. There is a place to run and be quiet and to feel loved. That's wonderful. But there's also a place in there that says, I am. I am better than what I'm going through. I will not listen to these voices that sound like. And you can generally write them down one after another. Sometimes they sound like a teacher, a parent, a sibling, a boss, a spouse, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. They're everything, it seems like, that you've ever done wrong encapsulated, assailing you at the moment that you need help and healing the most. Don't listen to it. Know that's coming from a false place. It's coming from the flip side of ego, which says, I'm really not very powerful. I'm just a human being. I'm just trying to get by, and I'm not asking too much. Storm the gates of heaven when that happens. Walk forward and say, I am truth. I am loved. I am divine with a capital D. And the reason that I say these things capital is because I want, and true students know this, when I say these words, I am also mentioning this about God. So anything with God, I capitalize. Divinity with a capital D. You are. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. These are the words that the master teacher told us about ourselves. And we can't allow life as it is today, especially with its high competition, with its great stresses, with its many challenges, to crush that out of us. And I think if we're not careful, we can allow that to happen. And then what happens is we feel like we just can't get back to where we were. You can get back to where you were by a thought. Happiness is a thought away. You can change your mind and thereby change your life in an instant. And you can do it many times in a day, a month, a week, and a lifetime. I have a great respect for the 12-step groups, particularly Alcoholics Anonymous. And then you have Overeaters Anonymous, Emotions Anonymous. Why do I love that so much? Not because I've had to struggle with addiction in myself, but I've seen the folks that do walk into that way of thinking, admitting to God and to another person the nature of their wrongs and being willing to be filled with something new by sacrificing the lesser and claiming the greater. I've also seen folks that walk into a church and say, I must repent. I'm no good. I am only allowed to exist by the grace of God, who is plenty mad at me, but decided to take me into the fold because I said the right words. One is toxic, as far as I'm concerned. The other is life-affirming, health-affirming, and wonderful. The anonymous programs are great. And I hope that even if you don't have an addiction, you avail yourself of the knowledge that they have that is free to anybody, just to go in and sit at a meeting and listen to lives changed, lives healed, is a wonderful thing. They have found their secret place. They have found their place of health and wholeness, and they uphold one another. They are there for one another. Why can't we do this in the church? Why can't we feel free to express ourselves to each other, our doubts, our misgivings, our sadnesses? Why can't we be human to one another? In other words, why can't we find our secret place and share that with somebody else? Bring them in and say, this is what I struggle with. This is what I have trouble with. I'd like you to uphold me. That's a mastermind group right there. And you've probably heard of the mastermind. Two or more people coming together for a common goal. Jesus said, where two or more are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them also. This did not originate with me, but boy, I love it, because I wouldn't be teaching it if I didn't. I have lived this for 40 years in one way or another, sometimes better and sometimes not so good, but I've at least tried to stay on the beam. When you see these words of these hymns that repeat, I am, I am, I am, there's a reason for that. I am are the words of creation. Whatever you place after the words I am are very, very important. If you say, I am not so good, I am sick, I am, you will get more of that, because the law of life is the law of expansion. So if you say, I am powerful, I am healed, I am love, that will expand. The power of life and death is in our mouths, and our mouths work from what's in our minds. Our minds are the most important thing we have. That is our conduit and connection with divinity. You're going to hear voices that are not going to be for your best. Probably if you're an experienced meditator for 40, 50 years, 30 years, you're going to hear that, because that's the nature of our humanness. And our humanness is what we're here to overcome. Not to dislike and not to despise, but to landscape in to the divine plan. You are right where you're supposed to be for your next step in growth. I want to really underscore this. Where you are right now is perfect for your development. How do I know that? Because that's where you are. And life is rigged in your favor. You may not see it right now, but ultimately it is. It is, because God is God. And God can't desire for you anything that is not wonderful. So we're here to learn, to grow, to develop. And at times we're going to need to flee to the secret place of the Most High. That protects us, and I'll go a little into Shakespeare right now from the Bible, the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. Everybody needs that place. I want to help you today develop that place if you don't have it. And one of the things that I like to do myself is to populate this secret place with every wonderful thing I've ever felt, experienced, and done. I can feel uplifted and upheld very quickly by going back and remembering the many wonderful things that I've had, the many blessings that have been mine. The self-criticism that I may feel in that time, it melts away when I realize, yes, that's true about me. Yes, that's true. I check it off in my mind, and I feel empowered, and I feel stronger, and I'm not so tired, and things are better when I walk out of there, and I think, I like to be in that secret place. I like to go there as much as I can. It's not just protection from the emergencies that the 91st Psalm talks about. It is a place to be at all times if you want. It's a place where you can be recreated and upheld anytime. It's a decision. God is always there. You don't have to beseech God to be with you. You don't have to beseech God to answer a prayer. All you have to do is align yourself with divine principle. And divine principle is always on the side of giving, of growth, of empowerment, and those wonderful things that make life the grand thing it is. I happen to be pretty human in my life. I have some faults and foibles that show up every now and then. They bounce up like balls under a swimming pool, pop up, and I sometimes try to push them down. I've learned now to pop them. And how I pop them is by remembering the truths about me. That I may be expressing in a certain way at this time, but that's not the truth. I need to come back to what God says about me. I am loved. I am powerful. I have the ability to create my destiny through my thoughts. That is a marvelous, marvelous thing the Creator did for us, the ability to choose. The ability to take one step in a new direction and another and build on that. The secret place of the Most High is the place where you are loved unconditionally, where you can let go of everything that you know isn't for your highest good and know that you are protected and loved. It's not just one paragraph of a psalm. To me, it's a way of life. To truth students, it is the very epitome, the sine qua non of what we have on this earth to protect us, to guide us, to love us, to help us. It is that place that knows no fear, no anger, no resentment. We may bring it there to let it go, but it is really heaven where we are. You can tell I love that song. And there are others that I might mention. And I hope if you have access to Scripture, you might look at the 37th and the 1st. But the 91st really speaks to the protection and the power and the love of God. And the I am-ness that we have the ability to access. The I am peace, I am power, I am plenty. These aren't just words that you say and forget. If you back them with the feeling and the knowledge of the truth of what God says about you, then your life can change and change in marvelous ways. And those voices, those tormenting voices that try to remind you of all that you haven't done, all the places that you failed, all the things that you wish hadn't happened, they can be quieted by the gentle remembrance of who you are. A Course in Miracles says, if you knew who walked beside you every moment of the day, you'd never feel fearful again. Great truth teaching is great psychology, and great psychology is great truth teaching. Lifeward, onward, upward. Those that want you to wallow around in the past or remind you of what you've done wrong have a vested interest in keeping you there. Now, you have to make a decision how you would handle that, but I'd say get away from it as fast as you can. Me with the people that uplift you, believe in you, not only uphold you, but celebrate with you every good and wonderful thing. Those that accept you unconditionally, just as God does. There's no reason for anybody to stay in a place in their mind or their life that's less than good. Not when God has set this up the way it's been set up, which is the ability to think our own thoughts, believe the truth, make our own choices. Nowhere that I can see in Scripture does it say you have to stay the way you are. If that was the case, Christ Jesus would have looked at the people who came to him for healing and said, this is your lesson, this is your life, can't do it, got a karmic debt, I'm going to move on. No, he healed right away. He saw people as they really were in truth. And people who met him, who touched him, who were with him, always were better for the experience. We're enjoined to be what Christ was. He pointed a direction for us to walk. We get so busy worshiping him and falling down on our knees to him, we forget that he taught us how to live. I don't think that he wants to be worshiped like a king. I think he says, do this. And in one part of Scripture it says, not only will you do this, but greater things will you do than I do because I go to my Father. That's one heck of a promise. We have a lot of gifts that have been given to us that I don't know that we've all unwrapped as children of the Most High. And while we do that, and while we unwrap these gifts and forgive ourselves, let's do something else. Let's forgive those that have offended us. If we've blamed, let's give it up. The action's already been taken. It's already been done. All you're dealing with is a thought about it. Let it go. You're going to feel better. Any person that's on the side of health and wholeness will tell you any negative thing you let go of, you get much more in return. Plenty wonderful things. In this church, I've noticed that everybody upholds each other. It's a place where people can talk about anything. And they feel loved and uplifted and comforted and all those wonderful things. This is not a place where gossip abounds or we say, I told you so, or your finger. This is a place of restoration. And that's why I want to get the word out so badly about Unity Church of Burney. And coming up this spring, there are things that we're going to do that will help that along. We're teaching classes in the foundations of what unity is, what we celebrate here, lessons in truth. That will start in March. We're remembering who we are so that we can go where we're called. I want to see this church expand beyond these walls, if not physically these walls, as people, as we go out and become better for all that we touch and all that we're involved in. So if I have to sum it up, I'd say in the secret place, forgive, let it go. You're going to have to sooner or later. You might as well do it sooner. There's only so much you want to step on your own toe. The second thing, forgive anything that keeps you from making a step forward. No matter how cherished it is, no matter how much you feel you're in the right, it's only going to hurt the more you hold on to it. And thirdly, visit this secret place of the Most High, not just when you want protection in an emergency or you want to feel love. Go there for recreation and renewal. You see, it's trite to say it, but God loves you. He really, really does. And the proof of that is you get the choice and the chance to run your life. You have the ability to choose. And in any good relationship, it's not about control, it's about freedom. And God gave you the freedom to choose what you'll think about and how you'll live. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I wish for all of you this week that every good and wonderful thing happens to you. And that if you have held on to anything that was less than for your good, it goes. And in its place rushes in the wonderful feelings of peace and power and plenty. I think that is the finest thing that any spiritual leader, minister could want. And the only thing that I can do is remind you of what you already know. I have to do it to myself many times. And when I do, and I follow it, life changes. Change your thoughts, change your life. It's not just a cliche, it's the truth. God bless each and every one of you, and so it is.